The glorious flute of Krishna. While ambling along the pathway, Krishna left the wonderful marks of a goad, lotus, conch, thunderbolt, and the other symbols of his lotus feet on the breast of Mother Earth. Holding the flute to his leaf-like lips, Krishna played a slow raga known as Mala Varasi, just fit for the autumn season. Krishna's lips, red as bimba fruits, drank the nectar of his flute as his fingers danced deftly over its holes. The abundant flow of nectar emanating from the belly of the flute spread throughout the atmosphere. Beside the intended rasa of Mala Vasri, the flute seemed to produce a variety of personified tunes. Krishna's face looked very attractive, brightened by his beautiful white teeth shining within his fresh leaf-like lips. Receiving a kiss from Krishna's dazzling, smiling face, the flute enjoyed the same fortune as his charming lovers. Indeed, the Murali is devoid of defects, even though full of holes. It is astonishing that this hard flute softens the hearts of heartless people and silences the deer, birds, and other forest animals. Though derived from bamboo, Vamsa, or a good family, Vamsa, like the Chandravamsa dynasty, it infects all chaste women with the intense attachment to Madhupati. Ah, just see this Murali of Murari. Although hollow, it holds a stream of ragas. It is formed from one section, parva, of a tree, but it initiates hundreds of festivals, parvani. The sweet sound of the Murali simultaneously stuns the whole universe and fills everyone with joy. Murari's sweet flute melodies engage the three worlds in marvelous pastimes. Entering within the ears, the vibration of Murari's flute agitates one's body, mind, and senses. By nature, Krishna's flute is simple and sweet, but according to the mood of the listener, it manifests as nectar to some and poison to others. It causes river water to freeze solid and hard mountains to melt into rivers of ecstasy. Dead trees spring to life with fresh green leaves. Sages fixed in Brahman become restless and agitated. Among relishable objects, the best thing is the sound of Krishna's flute, which completely maddens one in bliss. It removes the anxieties of all people and stops the movements of birds and animals. Thus, the sound of Krishna's flute is a treasure house of wonders. All glories to the super excellent vibration of Krishna's flute. Although there were unlimited groups of gorgeous gopis, they all had the great fortune of achieving the highest stage of love for Krishna. The gopis had peaceful natures and the same object of meditation, namely the desire to attain Krishna. These splendid beauties of Vrindavan prayed only for Krishna's supreme friendship. With great yearning, they looked in the direction of the flute and embraced each other due to the sudden derangement of their minds. Overwhelmed with ecstasy, they uttered some sweet words to describe the transcendental qualities of Krishna. In this way, the Braja gopis passed the day glorifying their beloved with poetic compositions. The leaders of each group of gopis spoke two verses of praise, but they felt apprehensive about revealing their inner moods before the common people. To avoid explicitly explaining their intimate pastimes with Krishna, they spoke in a hidden but humorous way. One gopi said, "How can I properly describe the fortune of one having eyes? To see Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan is the ultimate limit of vision. Wandering in Vrindavan, Krishna pierces the hearts of everyone with his restless sidelong glances. Those who see Krishna like this feel their bliss rise to the zenith. The sound of his flute makes the whole world impatient. Those who have seen the inexhaustible beauty of Krishna and Balaram tending their cows are the most fortunate people in the world. But alas, we have been deprived of this good fortune. Beautiful peacock feathers caress their crowns, and garlands swing from their necks to ornament their elegant forms. Radiant tilak made from various colored mineral powders graces their foreheads. Bouquets of small creepers and flowers ornament their bodies. Thus Krishna and Balaram please the eyes of everyone with their charming beauty as they enter Vrindavan, just like dramatic actors walking onto a stage. A second Sakhi said, "A person is considered fortunate even if he can see Krishna's lotus face from a distance. One is even more fortunate if he can kiss him with the corners of his eyes. Hey, Sakhi with a sweet face! That person, however, who drinks the nectar of his lips after he plays the flute is very fortunate. Hey, Murali, I am not lying. You hold a special position. When Shyamasundara kisses you, you become overwhelmed and beautified by the touch of his teeth, glimmering white like the rays of the moon. You echo the pleasant sounds of his young lovers at the time of union and thus drive the world mad. Krishna's brightly shining teeth are so beautiful that they look like ripe pomegranate seeds sitting in the middle of a lotus flower or precious rubies embedded in the full moon. Of course, these things are impossible. Therefore, nothing can compare with the beauty of Krishna's teeth." Another Sakhi said, "The Murali is acting very boldly because he is tasting the lips of Krishna, which are dear to his paramours and meant only for the gopis' enjoyment. But the Murali must be very fortunate, because even without endeavoring, he has easily obtained this rarest jewel. Before his evening bath, Krishna kisses his flute and imbibes a sweet rasa. The union of Krishna and his flute produces a nectar that makes the Yamuna ecstatic, turns solid, and bursts forth with blossoming lotuses. Feeling proud of their son, the flute, the bamboo trees along her bank shed tears of love in the form of honey dripping down their trunks." Another gopi, desiring eternal association with Krishna, yet fearing impending separation, said, "The fortunate earth holds a position higher than Brahmaloka. She is supremely worshipable because Krishna marks her with his splendid footprints like an independent lover drawing designs on the breasts of his beloved. The endless flow of nectar from Krishna's flute has transformed the heart of Mother Earth. As one in ecstasy experiences erect bodily hairs and thrill bumps, similarly, the grasses covering the earth stand straight up in shoots. The glories of Vrindavan are far beyond the comprehension of a person like me. Here the peacocks, feeling joyful at heart, begin gently dancing when they hear the sweet sound of Murari's Murali. Stunned by that sound, the soft leaves of the creepers blowing in the wind become motionless." Another gopi group leader, longing to see Krishna, said, "Oh Sakhi, the deer and doe must have performed severe penances and austerities in order to always hear Krishna's melodious flute and see his gorgeous face with their large, innocent eyes. Now we can appreciate the extent of their fortune. Hey, Sakhi, oh, look! Even the female parrots are more fortunate than we are. Without any fear or inhibition, they enjoy the lotus face of Krishna, which sends forth the nectarian sound of his flute along with their husbands. Hence, they have achieved the highest perfection of the eyes. The wives of the demigods and their husbands, who are deeply attached to them, are very fortunate because they have already developed love for Krishna. Therefore, they are always attracted to the captivating form of Krishna and feel extremely impatient upon hearing his enchanting flute. Losing all composure, the demigoddesses become unsteady, and even while flying in the sky, their hair braids loosen and the knots of their waistcloths slacken. In this agitated condition of love, they forget to drop soothing flowers and shower Krishna with tears of love instead. When the cows hear Krishna's flute, they cock their ears in rapt attention and close their eyes in bliss. The sound of Krishna's flute enters their ears like a constant flow of nectar. In such a state, the cows appear like statues painted on a canvas. As the cows become inert from the captivating sound, their teeth look very beautiful with the half-chewed sprouts hanging out of their mouths. While holding their mother's udders, the calves neither suck milk nor let go, or swallow the milk already in their mouths. The pleasing sound of Krishna's flute steals the minds of the cows and fills them with satisfaction. At that time, Mother Earth happily drinks the milk automatically streaming from the cow's udders. Hey, Saki! Abandoning their usual flighty nature, the birds of Vrindavan listen attentively to the sweet sound of Krishna's flute while relishing the beauty of his transcendental form. With their eyes closed in meditation on the music, they look just like sages steeped in bliss. Hey, Saki! They have stopped flying, singing, and eating. Becoming fully absorbed in tasting the pleasant sound of Krishna's flute, the birds have fluffed out their feathers due to ecstatic feelings of devotion. Listening to the sweet sound of the Murali, the Yamuna, and other rivers are intensely agitated and spinning in whirlpools. It seems they have been struck by Cupid's arrows and affected by a type of epilepsy. The swans and chakravakas rolling in the waves of the river look like the disarrayed clothing of the river. The sandy banks look like the unclothed hips of the river. The bubbles on the surface seem like foam forming on the mouth of the river. Hey, Saki! The rivers, shivering in ecstasy from hearing Krishna's flute, are holding lotus flowers in the hands of their waves to offer him pushpanjali. In the mood of his lovers, the rivers respectfully offer cool water to happily bathe Krishna's feet and remove the heat of walking on the burning earth of summer. The clouds, acting like friendly sakis, cool down the hot air by pouring tiny drops of water upon his head. Observing that every living entity was nicely serving Krishna except herself, one sad gopi said, "Even the clown, which is an unconscious entity, can show his affection by moving here and there to act as an umbrella shielding Krishna from the scorching rays of the sun. When Krishna plays his flute, the clouds remove the fatigue of cowherding by pouring tiny streams of water from all directions, which seem like a shower of camphor dust. Just see, only we have been cheated from tasting the sweetness of serving Krishna, which is being relished by everyone in the universe." Then the best of the gopis, thinking like this and feeling an arousal of enchanting love at the same time, said, "Just see the fortune of the Pulindas, Aborigine women. They thoroughly enjoy smearing their faces and breasts with the kumkum fallen onto the grass from Krishna's feet that once adorned the breasts of his dearest Saki. To relish Krishna's sweetness is the object of everyone's desire. Though the Pulindas are mere aborigines, we cannot say that they do not deserve such fortune. It is quite proper that the Pulinda women have genuine attachment to Krishna. Such signs of greed indicate the extent of one's real attachment to Krishna. Though one feels totally unqualified for such attainment, the greed for Krishna remains." While speaking of the Pulindas, that gopi remembered the fortune of Govardhan Hill, and she revealed to a friend her intense desire to meet Krishna. She said, "This Govardhan Hill enhances Madhava's pastimes by supplying roots, fruits, water, mineral colors, and caves to hide in. In this way, Govardhan is the best servitor of the Lord. It is known that by serving a great devotee, one can attain Vishnu. By his selfless service, Govardhan has brought Krishna under his control." Then that chief among the gopis indicated her desire to meet Krishna by speaking to a friend. "O Saki, it is our opinion that Krishna fulfills the desires and relieves the thirst of those who take shelter of Govardhan Hill. This fact is also supported by Shastric evidence." The unmarried gopis, headed by Danya Saki, showed their great fortune by manifesting their ongoing strong attachment to Krishna. The astonishing power of their yearning for Krishna revealed itself in newer and newer ways, but the secret longing for Krishna created a sense of bewilderment in their minds. Even experts in loving affairs cannot understand the intensity of the gopis' desire. Just hearing the flute song of Krishna paralyzed their senses and hands and feet. The unpredictable nature of prema put them in this embarrassing position. Overwhelmed in love for Krishna, they embraced each other and spoke as follows, "O Saki, the sound of Krishna's flute is a powerful yogi transforming the nature of reality with his mantra. It makes the conscious become unconscious and gives life to the lifeless. O Saki, look, all the aquatics, birds, and deer remain stunned like statues. The trees, earth, and mountains melt into liquid and the hairs on their body stand erect. Seeing the flute's ability to drastically alter the state of other moving and non-moving entities, the gopis worried about upholding their vows. The gopis said, "Can any young woman possibly stop the low sound of that resonating flute which the enemy of Kaliya started playing upon attaining youth? It is so terrible that it brings about a state of death like that induced by drinking poison. Rather than stopping it, we simply become playthings in the hands of that flute. That flute sound is the blemish on our family. But if we cannot hear it, then we die in the pain of separation. Agonized by this painful separation, we absorb our hearts in remembering the Prince of Vrindavan, the Lord of our hearts. His fickle mind is always agitated by lust. So every day, he proudly displays the attracting power of his flute song and enjoys a festival beneath the trees of Vrindavan. But still the residents of Vrindavan always offer him the greatest respect. With the sweetness of his bodily effulgence, he pleases all living entities and satisfies the world. When will we smell Krishna's sweet lotus face framed by the thick glossy locks of his dark blue hair? His eyebrows dance on his broad forehead and his nose is beautifully raised. When an object falls into an ocean of sweetness, it also manifests sweetness. Similarly, the yellow rope draped attractively on his turban, which Murari uses for tying cows, has become joyful by contacting his blissful form. Moreover, the young gopis who worship the tumbler-scented lips of Krishna that are bordered by his cheeks are supremely fortunate. His dancing Makara Kundala earrings, studded with jewels and flowers, cast reflections on his cheeks like sparkling bubbles of water. What woman does not desire to embrace the broad chest of Krishna, which is adorned with a forest garland, the marks of Lakshmi and Srivatsa, and brilliant jewels and pearl necklaces? Whose lake of the heart would not become agitated by his two arms which hang at his sides like the trunks of a pair of intoxicated baby elephants desiring to snatch the nectar beauty of his knees? Within our hearts we hold his waist, which is surrounded by three graceful folds of skin. Although measuring only the size of a fist, Krishna's thin waist is exceedingly powerful and makes us very weak. The line of hairs extending from his navel to his broad chest resembles a row of beautiful Kalpataru trees. They look like the fine hairs on the back of a bumblebee or a black snake that bites our chest when we tightly embrace him. His elegant feet, marked with a lotus, goad, and thunderbolt, defeat the beauty of red lotus flowers. His toes sparkle from the effulgence of his jeweled inlaid anklets. When will those feet be the ornament on our breasts? Thus Danya Saki and the other beautiful young gopis disclose their intense craving to meet Krishna. Since Mahaprema had arisen within them, they manifested so much longing that their throats choked up from the life airs rushing out of their bodies. Tossed by the insurmountable waves of desire to meet Krishna, they spent the days of autumn in great difficulty. In this way, the winter season quickly arrived and the gopis began to worship Kachiyani. Danya Saki and the other Braja Kumaris came to the banks of the Yamuna to worship goddess Uma, Kachiyani, during the first month of the winter season known as Magha Sirsha. At this time, the ripened rice paddy in the fields displayed a mixed color of red and brown. Bent in humility, the rice paddy expressed its desire to drink the water made fragrant from the white lilies blooming nearby. The newly sprouted barley spread a red and brown color across the fields. The growth of anise and coriander sweetened the earth. Spinach bloomed in all the household gardens. fields abundant with sugarcane spread in all directions. The first month of winter displayed immense splendor with its wealth of agricultural products. The Brajakumaris, like Danyasaki, who possessed unlimited affection for Krishna, played the part of sadhakas seeking to perfect the purity of their love for Krishna. Taking the vow, "May the virtuous son of Nanda Maharaj become our husband," they secretly worship goddess Katyayani in order to attain Krishna.
Gopinath, Gopinath.